Hello, everyone, and welcome into episode 75 of the Stomp the Bus Show. I am your host, Mark Harris, coming at you solo once again. Colton will miss this episode as well. He should be back next week, so that should be fun. A lot of stuff to pack into this show. I'm glad I waited till Wednesday, March 20th, to record this because there's news today about ASU transfer portal. ASU baseball lost to Utah Valley. And ASU football's game against Texas State has been rescheduled to a slightly different time. So talk about all that stuff. Let's just dive into the basketball. So chronologically, I guess we have to start with ASU's exit in the Pac-12 tournament. They played the Utah Utes last Wednesday and lost 90 to 57. Just an absolutely disgusting game. You could tell the whole team wasn't in it. I believe only two players scored in double digits. Frankie Collins, of course, had 20 points. And I believe it was Kamari Lance had 11. Let's see. Yep. Jermaine Neal scored 0 points. Sean Phillips, 6 points. Akil Watson, 7 points. Yeah, this is just a gross game. No analysis for that game. Season's over. 14-18 overall. Feels about right. Record for this season. And now all eyes are turned to the portal. As of 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. on March 20th, only two ASU players have put their names in the portal. One was fairly expected. One was somewhat expected, but also a little bit more impactful, in my opinion. So the one that was expected was Jermaine Neal putting his name in the portal. I'm going to share his, oops, share his tweet. Go. Okay. Jermaine Neal to Sun Devil Nation writes this whole thing out. Definitely going to miss Jermaine Neal. He's a good guy to have on a team. I'm sure he'll play really well at whatever his next stop is next year. But this one was one that you could see a mile away. I think I've referenced it on this show. Like, yeah, it'd be great to keep Jermaine Neal, but like, I mean, considering he put his name in the portal last year, everyone had to be on the lookout for him leaving. And I mean, he's 11 points a game this year, 5.4 rebounds per game, 41.5% shooting. He's a good player. I mean, he's the most athletic player on the team, I would say. But I also don't think that, like, oh, they lost Jermaine Neal. Like, oh no, he's a career 26.9% 3-point shooter, shot 27.5% from three this year. Not like, I don't know. Not like he is replaceable for as, cold as that sounds. They can replace Jermaine Neal. Like they can. It's icky, at least in my opinion, to talk about players like that. But just from a production standpoint, they can find someone to give Jermaine Neal's production. They just can. And so I will definitely miss Jermaine Neal. Like I would much rather just Jermaine Neal return, But I mean, he's probably going to, he can probably cash in for his last. I don't know if it's his last year, but he can cash in probably a bigger NIL bag somewhere else. Although, it does look like Hurley has gotten more NIL to work with. We'll see how that shakes out. So Jermaine Neal leaving, unfortunate, but not unexpected. The one that was a little more out of the blue, and maybe out of the blue is a little too strong, but that would be freshman guard Braylon Green entering the portal. Now, Braylon Green did not really like contribute much this year for ASU. He came off the bench if he played at all. Let's see what his stats are. Come on. Okay. I mean, yeah, he averages, wow, this is lower than I expect. 0.9 points per game, 0.8 rebounds, 0.4 assists. Just not doesn't really play that much. 6'3 guard. You know, he would have he scored like 4 or 5 points per game, maybe in some of the non-conference games. But he literally didn't score. Oh, he made 1 3-pointer in Pac-12 play. So he had scored 3 points in Pac-12 play. Obviously, just from a statistics standpoint, like obviously it's not going to be hard to replace that. But why his departure is a little bit more impactful is because he's a freshman and, you know, he was a recruit that Bobby brought in last year, obviously. And those are the guys you would really rather have stay, you know? This is kind of similar to Austin Nunez leaving last year, except Nunez contributed much more and was just a better player or looked to be a better player. You don't want to losing younger guys is worse, in my opinion, because it's not like they're leaving because, oh, like, well, I guess you never know how what the rationale is for these guys leaving. He could be leaving for playing time. He could be leaving, not a personality fit, NIL. All of those are on the table. But to me, like a guy like Braylon Green is someone you wanted to keep, especially now. It just hurts your backcourt. So Braylon Green's gone. Obviously, ASU's going to have to hit the portal. Luckily, he's the only point guard to have left, or guard. Well, he's not the only guard because Jemiah Neal's a guard, I guess. But Adam Miller announced that he would return, or at least tweeted out a ASU trident, and made it seem like he was going to return. So that is enormous for ASU. I mean, Miller, he's not, you know, some outstanding, you know, game-changing player, not the best player on the team. I understand all of that, but he is competent. He's a good shooter. 12 points per game at ASU. Just he really did look the part of a good college basketball guard. I'm kind of surprised he only shot 30% from three. That is didn't really match my eye test when I watch him, but he can improve. This is ASU is also his third school. I think we have to remember that with him being at Illinois and LSU. So, like, does he really want to move again? Probably not. So that's very just getting him back. There's no guarantee that Frankie comes back, but just based looking at Frankie Collins's tweets, it would be. That would be Frankie Collins leaving would just be a dagger. That would be really bad. And there's no I can spin Jemiah Neal leaving. You know, there's nothing that can be done with Frankie Collins leaving in terms of like trying to, oh, well, actually, here's the benefit of it, or like, oh, it's actually not that big. No, it's like if he leaves, that's a big deal. So keep an eye out for that. ASU has been in the mix for some transfers that they are attracting. I saw a tweet a while back. Here we go. UTSA transfer Jordan Ivy Curry. This is from 2 days ago on Monday. This is Joe Tipton from On3. Says that he's heard from the following schools: Ole Miss, Virginia, Arizona State. So UTSA transfer Jordan Ivy Curry. Guard from University of Texas, San Antonio, 17.1 points per game last season. He would be a big get. He would be a big get. And there's some other schools in on him as well. So, you know, it's going to be a lot like the past few off seasons, except the difference is with this off season as opposed to the 2023 off season. You're not losing. Think of all the guys they lost. It was DJ Horn, the Warren Washington, Devin Cambridge, Nunez, Duke Brennan. That's five guys, three of whom were starters, and the other two in Brennan and Nunez were key bench guys. This year, okay, like losing Jermaine Neal is suboptimal. It's not ideal, but you can get away with losing him and Braylon Green and let's say one of Kamari Lands or Brian Selebonge, right? Like there will be guys who leave. That's fine. There's not like the only really guys that would hurt you if they left are Frankie and Adam Miller and potentially maybe Sean Phillips. Some people would disagree. I think you really want to keep Sean Phillips if you're ASU just because he has the physical tools. He's still, a raw player, but he's clearly good enough to be like a good defensive presence. So I think you would rather have him than not have him. So yeah, that's where it is on the roster churn standpoint. Hopefully, I mean, ideally you keep as many, key players as you can because you're still filling spots with Gaffney leaving to go professionally. Jose Perez has already left. And I think there's another senior that I'm forgetting, but I guess this is where we'll see how much the improved NIL efforts for ASU men's basketball are really going to go. It doesn't look like Frankie, like he left Michigan to come to ASU, so who knows how much NIL was really a factor in that. It's not always the number one factor, even though people point to it as the number one factor every single time. Cartman's reported. You see DJ Horn playing well for North Carolina State. It's like, oh, NIL. Chris Cartman from Sun Devil Source has kind of said on Twitter, like, yeah, DJ Horn wasn't really an NIL move. It was more just going back to Raleigh. And I saw that there was a report from someone in that area that Hurley texted Horn after they beat UNC calling them the Tar Heels, which I thought was funny. So that's a roundabout way of saying like not every departure is due to NIL, but Washington and Cambridge definitely were NIL, and it kind of makes sense for those two because Washington, you don't he doesn't know what his pro prospects are going to be, so you got to cash in while you can. Cambridge, I mean, he couldn't really shoot last year, and he did everything else well, but I mean, his shot was just not. Didn't look smooth at all. And so there you go. That's why you leave, is get your money while you can because you won't get into the NBA. Zane Meeks was the other senior. I was like, who's the other senior? Of course, I forgot because he was injured this whole year. So that was the other senior. You're probably going to get Bryson Long back. Akil Watson is someone to watch. That's definitely someone you want to keep. And I know that they have a good recruiting class coming in, but you still want to keep Akil Watson, and he showed some flashes too. So, most likely Collins. You got Miller is confirmed, or certainly confirmed to go back. Neal's gone, Gaffney's gone. Sean Phillips, we'll see. Selebonge, I would be very surprised if Selebonge transferred. I don't know. I think he played enough. He seems like a hardworking guy. Was it Tulsa before? So we'll see with him. Kamari Lands is interesting too. I kind of put Kamari Lands and Akil Watson in the same bin in the sense that like Kamari Lands scored 4.5 points per game, Akil Watson 1.2. Like they didn't do that much, but Kamari Lands is better. I've said this whole year. He is better than like how he's played at his worst. He was in a horrible 3-point shooting slump, kind of broke out of it towards the end of the year. That's someone you want back. He's what's he? I think he's listed at like 6'8". He has some skill. The fact that he scored 11 points in the Pac-12 tournament game, not that that's like outstanding or anything, but it shows that he is a competent player. So you hope to get those guys back. You're bringing in the four, freshmen from the recruiting class, and they all seem to be, highly regarded, particularly Amir Ali. And then you'll pick up some guys in the portal. And so the hope is that you don't have to like completely reshape the team If you can bring back, okay, Collins, Miller, Phillips, Lands, Celebonge, Watson, and Long, and the Long barely played. That's seven guys already. And maybe, maybe you expect one of Celebonge or Lands to trade. Maybe if one of those guys leave, that's still six guys coming back, as opposed to there was only three guys that came back this year from last year's team, being those being Frankie Collins, Neal, and Alonzo Gaffney. So we'll see how that plays out. With my luck, there'll be probably something that breaks while I'm recording, and I won't even see it. So that's fun. There was also news last week about, this is from March 13th, Jason Wolf of AZ Central and USA Today reports Arizona State men's basketball coach Bobby Hurley has not signed a contract extension in March of 2023, raising questions about the Sun Devils' business operations. Quote, "It's extraordinarily unusual." Michael Krogan and Michael Crow. But on Tuesday morning, that same Jason Wolf reports, I'm going to pull up the tweet on here. Breaking, Bobby Hurley has signed his contract extension with Arizona State a year after it was announced, per the school, keeping him with the Sun Devils through the 2025 to 2026 season. That's two more years from now. Reading 2025, 2026, and having that be like, oh, that's only two seasons from now, is still crazy to me. But time moves on, and he's officially signed. I didn't make too big of a deal out of this, because with Hurley and ASU, it's like, okay, you're gonna leave. Like, are you gonna get a better job? Maybe, that he was in rumored for the DePaul job. I would think DePaul's a worse job than ASU, and I can only say that about like three or four, high major jobs in college basketball. But I believe that, just considering how bad they've been for so long, even worse than ASU. So he probably could have gotten that job if he wanted it, although they did hire Chris Holtman, so it's not like they hired some nobody. It kind of makes sense for both parties just to keep Bobby, And again, I would be much, much, much more on the fire Bobby train, because this was, I'm sorry, this wasn't a good year for him. There's no really way you can spin it. I'd be much, much more on that train if ASU had an athletic director right now, but they don't. And I don't want Michael Crow making the next basketball hire, or however it would work. I don't even know. They're just avoiding that. And at least with Hurley returning, you keep Collins, you keep Miller, probably a few other guys. It's not fantastic, but it's at least you have some continuity heading into the Big 12. This will be his 10th year here. You bring some continuity back with the roster. And all of this is to say, I just didn't make that big of a deal, just in terms of like, is he actually going to leave? It's more of a big deal, the contract weirdness, just in terms of how ASU, operates its business athletically behind the scenes. It's just like, and it's so obvious to everyone who's a fan. I mean, just look at how strong the main programs are. Not that strong. And, it all flows down from Michael Crow, as I've said a million times on this show. So Bobby Hurley's coming back for almost certainly two more years. So it's not like a joyous occasion. I can't really say that. It's more of just like a relief, where it's like, okay, like at least we're not heading into the year with some interim men's basketball coach going to be a dead man walking in the Big 12. At least you come in with some sense of a fighting chance, and at the same time also acknowledging that it's still, ASU basketball with Hurley. It has its ups and downs, and it's just how it is. So there's that. And then one more ASU basketball note. was that they turned down a bid for the NIT. Now, at first, I was like, how did they even get an invite to go to the NIT? But apparently, so many Pac-12 teams turned them down. Basically, all the Pac-12 teams got offered a chance to go, but the only one that went is Utah. Washington, USC, UCLA, Stanford, Oregon State, who's even worse than ASU, Cal, and obviously ASU. One of the many teams that turned down NIT invitations. So I'm totally fine with that. Like, it would be kind of fun to have like NIT games at Desert Financial if that was how it, the bracket shook out. But just with how this ASU season ended with the Jose Perez departure and now the transfer portal and just looked like a joyless affair towards the end of the season. Like, it's just end the season, put it to the history books, and let's move on and look forward, and so yeah, I mean, I can't really say that I'm like super happy with where the program is, but it's also, we can't say there isn't stability. There is stability with ASU basketball with Hurley. Is it great stability? No, it's not. It's, I saw John Wilner write a story this past weekend, San Jose Mercury News. He gets articles put on Arizona Sports 360 here in the Valley. He basically made a point that while this season was very bad for ASU basketball, Hurley is, quote, crushing the expectations for the program. I don't think he's crushing the expectations, but I do think he is doing better than the average coach at ASU would. I would put it that way. There's been too many, the roller coaster has been too much for just to me, like, oh yeah, he's killing it. He's crushing expectations, a la, like Lance Leipold at Kansas or something, or when Chris Beard was at Texas Tech and they made it to the national championship game. I'm like, Texas Tech's in the Natty, they almost won it. That would be crushing expectations in my mind. But just making the tournament, but barely three times, and then you would have made the tournament in 2020. Those are good. That's, if you're a Hurley defender, those are legitimate arguments, but he's not crushing it. So I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see what happens if they have a similar type season as this one next year in the Big 12. Because if you fire him next year, there would only be one more year on the contract. So that probably wouldn't be that, cumbersome to, I don't even know what I'm saying. Like, it wouldn't be that much of a hindrance to get rid of him because it's just 1 year left on the contract. So we'll see. And there would most likely be a new athletic director in place. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're going into the Big 12, it's just like you're just hoping to be like an average, like okay team, kind of like what, I don't know, like what the University of Cincinnati was this year, like what Oklahoma was. I mean, neither of those teams made the tournament, but they were on the bubble. Like, that's what I'm hoping for. Just be like kind of an average bubble team, and hopefully you can squeak your way into the tournament and pick off a few games, after playing a tough conference schedule. It's gonna be tough, man. Like, playing Houston next year, Kansas is going to be better than they were this past year. Baylor is still good. Arizona, obviously. Utah and Colorado are both running better than ASU is. BYU's a good program. Iowa State, I haven't even gotten to them. And then you get to TCU. All these teams are in the tournament. Kansas State is usually good, So it's not going to get easier next year, but you'll at least have the continuity. I'm not really, being like, ASU fans, you should be happy about Hurley returning, because I don't totally agree, but I do think the ASU fan base should, just kind of be relieved that it's like, okay, like, we should probably have some competence heading into the Big 12, and considering the fact that we don't have an athletic director, that's decent. Guess. Oh man, that is not exactly strong language for me, but I mean, I can't really defend that program that much. I did see one interesting, this was over the weekend from it. Now it was from a U of A reporter. But here, I'll pull this tweet up on screen once again. For those listening, this is a some Arizona reporter and Andy Morales. It's a quote tweet of the celebration for GCU getting their name announced, getting to the tournament. And his tweet is, "I predicted when ASU hired Bobby Hurley that GCU would eventually be the second best basketball program in the state, and here we are." So, for one, it's tough. It's tough to because I can make a very strong argument that ASU is the like GCU has 100% passed ASU. I think honestly, it depends on how this tournament goes for GCU. If they lose in the first round, then I can't really make an argument that like they're probably not a better program than ASU. And that's kind of a weird, but like this is where, you know, program strength is kind of determined is in NCAA tournament. Like at this time last year, no one would have said Florida Atlantic is definitely a better basketball program than ASU, but they just made the Final Four and ASU's literally never done that. So yeah, they're a better basketball program than ASU. Like I'm sorry, they just are. So if Grant can't, and even if they win one game, if they win one game, that's important for like Grand Canyon fans, but it does get kind of washed away in the whole scheme of March Madness. But if they make it to the Sweet 16, if they make it out of the first weekend, then there is no argument because they'll be able to build on that so much. Like one thing that GCU has a huge advantage in that compared to ASU when it comes to basketball is men's basketball is the number one sport at GCU, and it will always be. Men's basketball will never be the number one sport at ASU. It just won't be. Now, that doesn't mean GCU should still be able to surpass it. You know, men's basketball is not the number one thing at Ohio State, but they still generally have a pretty good basketball program, right? Like it's the same concept. So, I'm not here to, you know, what I'm saying is, gun to my head, I probably disagree that GCU is a better basketball program than ASU right now, today on March 20th, the day before the tournament begins. But it's close. Like it's really close. And the arguments for ASU are just overall longer, you know, like just general longer program history and being in, you know, power conferences, like that matters. It is never lost to GCU. And they've played GCU, I don't know how many times, didn't play this year. Probably GCU probably would have won this year, but other years, ASU has played GCU and they've literally never lost. So I think that has to be considered in this. And thirdly, is that GCU, they have to win their conference tournament to make the NCAA tournament because they're in the WAC. So, you know, like it's a great job. But you have to like it, no one thinks of them as like a Gonzaga or a St. Mary's or one of these schools from like the A10, like a Dayton or something, where it's like you don't even need to win your conference tournament. Like we just know you're a good program. You stack up wins throughout the season, and all that. So I think it is definitely up for debate, and I think my mind can be swayed honestly in what happens in the next few days. So. And maybe they'll just one, it'll be a clear overtaking of ASU within 3 years anyway, right? Like that could absolutely happen. We'll see. But I do think there was one little logical flaw in this is I predicted when ASU hired Bobby Hurley that GCU would eventually be the second best basketball program in the state, and here we are. And the where I disagree with this tweet is when he's kind of making it sound like it's because of Bobby Hurley that ASU hasn't taken off and GCU has filled the void. This is a Michael Crow problem, right? This is a Michael Crow issue. I know that GCU, like they have a arena that's not, super old, unlike ASU. So that's one thing. Like, and their administration like cares about basketball the way ASU just does not. So obviously, like Hurley's not blameless in it, I guess, but he is not the main culprit in there being a gap, or not a gap, but GCU closing the gap. So just my little two cents on that. Okay, let's end the basketball discussion. My God, just grinding teeth. ASU Wrestling is in the NCAA Championships this weekend. Don't really have any analysis on it, but it's cool, that they're doing well. Hopefully, they came in first place in the Pac-12. Let's see how they do this weekend. It's going to be in Kansas City, so a lot of good wrestling programs out there. Happy that ASU is one of them and competing at the very best. So good stuff on that front. Baseball. Well, man, speaking of just depressing sports right now. So it was a weird stretch for ASU baseball because they won two out of three games over this past weekend against U of A, with 3-2 win on Friday, 4-0 win on Saturday. So that those are the types of wins you want to see, because typically ASU has good offense, or at least early this season, they've had good offense but haven't been able to pitch. Winning those two games against Arizona in Pac-12 play as well, like that's huge. And then they get blown out on Sunday. They lose 14-3. I'm not worried about the blowout loss to Arizona on Sunday, because you already won the first two games. Like, this isn't a run differential type thing. Just win the games and move on. Last night, Tuesday, they beat Utah Valley University, and they actually had a reliever, Hunter Almelid. He pitched like, I want to say like 5 1/3 innings in relief of scoreless baseball. Like, that is huge. That is such a winning performance, and they needed every one of those pitches, because they only won 5-4. Then today, they lose 7-5. They were getting no hit for a good portion of this game. And one of the reporters, let me see who it is. I think it's Noah Furtado of Sun Devil Source says, "A players-only meeting is currently underway in ASU's clubhouse after its 7-5 loss to Utah Valley." That's not what you want to see at all, at all. And it dropped them, the game dropped them to 10 and 11 overall, which, we're over a month into the season now, or at least about a month into the season now. No, oh, yeah, over a month into the season. You shouldn't be below 500. And some of these losses are, it's not that they're just losing all these games to Oregon and, even Ohio State when they split that series. Like, this is what happens when you lose to Santa Clara, even one time. This is what happens when you lose to New Mexico last week. This is what happens when you lose to Utah Valley. Like, those little losses add up, and they haven't shown to be a good enough team to be like, oh, well, we can trust them to make up for it down the stretch. It's like, no, we can't trust. Like, they should be in a better spot as a program at this point. And maybe it would be easier to stomach it had they made the NCAA tournament last year like they should have, but they were a bubble team last year, and it's kind of looking like that's the best they can hope for this year. So, you have some good players. You have the Thomas Burns, really good pitcher. Obviously, New Contrades, Isaiah Jackson, good hitters, Nick McLean. Like, they have talent. No one's denying that, but it does not all come together. They have a Pac-12 baseball pitcher of the week, Connor Markle, Arizona State, in their Saturday win. So it needs to improve. And like, it's not late in the season or anything like that. You still have the whole month of April left and month of May, but you got to turn around. Got to turn around. You cannot be losing these games to Utah, not Utah State, Utah Valley or New Mexico. Like, It's you're not a good enough team to overcome those losses, apparently. So that's just kind of a disappointing ASU baseball check-in. Speaking of disappointing, this isn't really anything that like materially impacts ASU sports right now, but it's just a window again into just the unseriousness of ASU athletics. So we remember Ray Anderson, right? Former ASU athletic director. According to the state press, he's still representing ASU at the Final Four. It's clearly because they just need a representation. And it's not like, he's making decisions for like the ASU athletic department at the moment. But it's like, why is he still like a part of ASU? You know, that's the thing. Like he resigned and other people have been critical of him keeping the role as the law professor, where he's like paid like $90,000 per year. I don't even care about that, honestly. Like Ray Anderson is a smart guy who, worked his way up through the NFL. Like he has a very legitimate law career background. Like I have nothing negative to say about it on that front, honestly. Like I don't even really care that he's getting money from the university. It did not work out as an athletic director. So, I mean, we can get into all the details about it, but to me, the only reason this is happening is because there's still an athletic director to be hired. I just, it just, it's just like, and it's just another thing of like, why is this athletic director search taking so long? It's taking so long that the Final Four comes around. ASU is, the host city, I get, or the host university, technically, when I don't even know why that's the case. Like GCU is closer to the, State Farm Stadium than ASU is by a significant amount. But ASU, I mean, ASU is obviously the larger school. It's just like, you would think that I just, with Michael Crow in the athletic director search, you see the athletic director movement around college football so quickly. Like just today, Washington or Nebraska hired Troy Dannon from Washington, and they made a quick move after their athletic director, Trev Alberts, went to A&M, who made a relatively quick move after their, I forget who it was, went to Ohio State. Like, these schools are making these hires pretty quickly, like within 2 weeks. Like Arizona did the same thing. Meanwhile, ASU, it's just, we're going to be heading into April, and there's not going to be an athletic director. Right, like I actually submitted a like tweet question for John Wilner's mailbag, and I basically said like, why should we trust Crow to make a quick athletic director hire? And he's in one of the things his response was, if they don't have a hire by April, the concern should turn into panic. And it's like, well, consider me preemptively panicked because there's no way in hell that ASU is hiring an athletic director in the next 10 days. It's just not happening. Because with Michael Crow, you got to change the whole operations of the athletic department, all this mumbo jumbo. And it's like, dude, just get someone who can hire good coaches and empower those coaches and fundraise to get these coaches more money, more resources, all of it. No. Michael Crow's perfectly fine with Kenny Dillingham having to lead the way in terms of NIL for his program. Same with Hurley. Like it, that falls on the coaches. No. It needs to be the athletic department as a whole lifting up the coaches, and then the coaches go from there instead of what it is right now, where it's like the athletic department isn't just, it's non-existent in terms of like non-administrative things. Like obviously there are plenty of administrative day-to-day things that the athletic department does. I'm not denying any of that. But from a building of a program standpoint, support of those programs, empowerment of those programs. There's nothing. It's just, you know, and look at the ASU sports that are really successful right now. It's wrestling, like I mentioned. Okay, Zeke Jones has been the coach there forever. Once you've been the, like, he doesn't need that as much support because A, wrestling's a smaller sport for one, and also he's been there forever. He's established all that stuff already. Like, if Charlie Turner Thorne were still here for the women's basketball program, that same statement would apply. And this, and you look at swimming. Okay, it's Bob Bowman, who's like the most like famous swimming coach in America, and Coach Michael Phelps, and like has the cachet to have Michael Phelps come to the facility all the time, and like has all these like super Olympic swimmers from France. Like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, it's awesome that, you know, ASU swimming is great and that Bob Bowman does a good job, but like, he's such a good, like, famous coach, is such a big enough name that they don't need the extra athletic department boost. But like, that's not the case for football. Like, even though Kenny is doing, clearly it seems, as much as he can to just generate interest and get, you know, better talent and all this, with baseball, like, baseball really needs the support from the athletic department more than it's getting it. Softball, the same thing. Both basketball programs. So like, there's these, all these team sports, bigger team sports, that just need more help from the athletic department, and it's not coming because the search is just dragging on into what feels like it's going to be the summer. You know, it feels a lot like last year with all the Pac-12 negotiations, where, you know, it, throughout the year and around this time last year, the reporting was like, well, they can't go to the Pac-12 tournament, not have a deal done. Then Pac-12 tournament comes, the deal's not done. And then it drags into, okay, the deal will be done kind of sometime early, you know, late spring, early summer. Then that comes and it doesn't happen. And then it all comes to a head in, you know, I forget when it was, August of last year. And so I don't know, you know, the difference is it's not like the ASU athletics is going to blow up if they don't make a quick athletic director hire. So I get it from that standpoint, but you are going to the Big 12. Like, you need, this is a very, very, very tumultuous time in college athletics in general. And especially like ASU is very much in that because you're going to a new conference. You know, there's rumors about a potential new university president. Rumors, not reports, rumors. Key difference there. So it's just, you know, when you, I mean, I tweeted from the Stomp the Bus account, like, UW is going to make a quicker hire on this athletic director than ASU will. And they might even take a month to make their hire, and it will still be done quicker, you know? So it's pretty frustrating. So I don't know. Hopefully Ray Anderson does a good job leading the, you know, representing ASU at the Final Four and whatever that entails. All right. One more weird little story about ASU football. You know, nothing, pretty quiet on the ASU football front right now, which I'd say is a good thing based on all the news about the other large sports programs at ASU at the moment. But this was originally tweeted out by Brad Denny of 3TV. And the gist of it is that ASU's first road game of the 2024 season at Texas State, it was scheduled to be on September 14th, a Saturday. It has been moved up to Thursday. A release from the university said that, quote, the schools have agreed to the switch for ESPN platform purposes that will be determined later this spring. So basically ESPN told ASU and Texas State, hey, you guys are going to be put on, you know, ESPN2 if you're playing on Thursday night versus ESPNU or what is it called? They have all the hockey games, ESPN. Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting what it's called, but the ESPN streaming platform if you play on Saturday. So like, we'll see what this exactly entails. I mean, it could be good if it's on, you know, like ESPN2 as opposed to the ESPN streaming, but I do not like having to play. I do not like having to play a road game on a Thursday. This will be after they play Mississippi State as well, so that could be a fairly emotional win. You know, I don't know how that's going to play out at all. There's Mississippi State was a bad team last year. ASU was a bad team last year. So it's like I don't know how it's going to play out, but like even still, it's a power four opponent coming to Tempe. There should be a more emotion geared up towards that game. And now you have to go on the road to a Thursday game. Texas State is at least in like a decent spot with their head coach DJ Kinney. So I had already looked at that, I mean, as a potential loss. It just feels like much more of a potential loss now that it's being played on the road on a Thursday night. So it would have to be about visibility, or maybe they didn't even have a choice either. It's, I don't know. That does make the non-con more difficult. Because now I look at all of these games. Before, when it was just at Texas State, I looked at that's probably a game you're going to win. But like, even though it's on the road, you're probably just better overall than Texas State. Now, I don't know. Like, now all of these, you mean you host Wyoming to open the year, you host Mississippi State, and then you go on the road for Texas State. But it's on a Thursday, and factoring that in now, it's like all three of those games are losable. Not to the same degree, but now they're all definitely losable games. So that's not great news, in my opinion, for ASU. The only slight benefit is that it gives you more time to rest entering the following week's game against Texas Tech. In Lubbock, your first Big 12 conference game ever. You get 9 days rest instead of 7 days rest, or 8 days rest instead of 6 days rest, whatever. So from that standpoint, it's good, but that's really finding the silver lining there. Like this, and maybe it won't even matter. Like I would love for it to just ASU just wins by like 17 points or something, and whatever. It's, you know, 38-21 win, and we all forget about the game. You know, that would be ideal, but I feel like it's going to be either a loss or a close-ish win. So that'll be fun on I can't wait to not watch whatever NFL Thursday night game's going on that day to watch ASU Texas State. All right. Well, hopefully no more ASU players entered the transfer portal in this little episode that I did. We're probably going to see some more action in the portal. Yeah, probably one of the guys I mentioned who I said, oh, I don't expect them to, will go in the portal. So as long as it's not Kamari Lance, knock on, or Kamari Lance. Well, I mean, I'd love to keep him. As long as it's not Frankie Collins, knock on wood, then I don't know how impactful it would really be. So we'll see how it goes. Should be interesting. Tournament's going to be fun. It's kind of nice, like, you know, kind of sounds bad to say this as an ASU fan, but sometimes it's nice to watch the tournament just with no ASU involved. There's no whatever. It's just a completely clean slate. My final four is Houston, UConn, Baylor, and Tennessee. I know that it's not going to be that, and I'm just hoping none of those teams lose in the first round. I got Houston winning it all. I originally went with UConn, but just because of how just the so many people are picking UConn to repeat, understandably, they look like the best team and they just play a really clean brand of basketball. Everything just looks very crisp when you watch them. Houston's got a great defense. They got destroyed in the Big 12 championship game. I think that could be a good thing. I mean, if you're a coach, you love that, right? Like, you know, get that extra sense of urgency. So should be a great tournament. I'm excited to watch the women's tournament as well. And yeah, so next time we talk, hopefully we'll, you know, I'm sure we'll have a little bit more insight as to what the ASU men's basketball roster will look like. So hopefully they don't get absolutely destroyed in the portal like they did last year. All we can do is hope, though. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you are watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. If you are listening on your podcast app, please rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And as always, go Devils.